Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to our second episode ever for Evolving Health. And I'm here today with Margaret Parsons. Say hi to everybody, Margaret.
Hello.
We are sticking to our promise and being consistent with our podcast. And so I'm really excited to get going with you today and kind of jumping right in. And so, we talked a little bit about, last episode about what we, our purpose was, what we were trying to maybe accomplish with this, and it's somewhat organic and it's somewhat exciting. And so today, in that same vein, then I thought maybe we could start talking about, we'll just get down to basics, kind of jumping in. The ideas of health and sickness and unpacking that a little bit today, because even though we talked about how health is really a simple thing, I think that there needs to be a shift in our mindset, and sometimes that comes through understanding a little bit better exactly where our health comes from, what it is, what it's not, so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
So I think, one of the places I like to start with people when I'm trying to explain where health comes from, where sickness comes from, and usually it's around, because I'm a chiropractor, it's around the subject of a certain thing that has shown up in their life, right? Because, and this is one of the things that is a little bit frustrating. Is that when do people typically think about their health?
When they don't have it, when they're sick, that's usually when it comes up.
Right. Well, exactly. And I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe it's I mean, I think I understand a little bit. I have heard explanations of this. I think that part of it is because the way that we are created, we're basically wired to respond to our environment, right? So that's our intuitive nature, is that our system just responds to our environment. And so what happens is that we don't know there's anything wrong or even right until it's brought into our conscious awareness. And so here we go, and we easily just kind of go through life, and we don't even realize where our attention gets thrown to something. We could be walking down a trail and then all of a sudden see something out of the corner of our eyes, and then what happens? Our eyes go to there. What was that?
Squirrel.
So we're kind of like, yeah, we're kind of like these little antenna, this walking antenna, just walking around waiting for something to tell us that there's something to pay attention to, right? And that's basically the explanation that I've gotten, is that that's how we're innately wired. Is how we're designed from a very intuitive, very primitive standpoint. And so I think that and so that's how we do life. And so the things that we do consciously, I mean, think about it. There's only a certain amount of things that you and I can do, or anybody can do, on a conscious level. Like right now, you and I can only just focus on the podcast and whatever thoughts that are coming into our minds and stuff like that. We're not worried about our big toe right now, or where the animals are out in the yard, or what they're doing, or anything like that, because those are not pulling on our attention, and those are not where our
Right.
focus is at. So it's the same with our health, is that we get clues from our inner primitive selves. For instance, I just had a salad, so because my body gave me a signal that it was hungry. And so we just follow those things, and we don't realize it. We do it just so second nature and everything else. And I think, that helps us to go through life fairly easily. Imagine if every time we sat in a chair, we took 30 minutes to analyze it to see whether or not it would hold us up. How much of our life would be sucked away on these little trivial things,
Yeah.
right? So it's a good thing that we can just kind of live by this nature and general belief systems that we develop, that we learn as we grow up. But it's a bad thing when it comes to the fact that we can make a lot of poor decisions. And maybe these poor decisions, they're, I'm not going to say that they're intentional, but people just have been brought up a certain ways. They've had a certain amount of influence from media, teachers, parents, friends, things like that, that have made them who they are today. And unfortunately, a lot of those then behaviors that we have held on to may not be serving us. And then so then the real issue then becomes, when do we know that? When do we pay attention to that? And right now, with the way our healthcare systems are and where our culture is, we only pay attention to that when it's an issue causing some discomfort or pain in our
Right.
lives, right? And thankfully, that is starting to change. I'm starting to see signs of that. Even as I'm sitting here today, I'm looking out the window of my office and I'm watching people walking up and down this trail called the Heritage Trail. And so they're doing something very proactive for their health and their life and getting out there and moving. So there are signs that people are getting it. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit today and break it down for people so that we can be bring our health more into that conscious awareness, so that we can make more conscious decisions that will actually help us to either one, get rid of some kind of maybe chronic disease that we're dealing with, or two, prevent it altogether, which would be the ideal thing. And see, and that to me really resonates with the whole evolving health concept, because you have to, in order to have this long, good quality of life and health, you have to think of it in a conscious way and make conscious decisions, at least for a while, at least until it kicks into a habit, and where you're able to develop that. And then as you just go, put it into, automatic, drive mode, then the habits that you've developed from a conscious standpoint become just second nature to you. And then that begins the opportunity for a bioaccumulation of that good choices over a period of time, and then our bodies can heal and get the nutrients it needs and maybe prevent
Right.
diseases. Does that make sense so
That
far?
does. I kind of want to back up a little bit though, just kind of figuratively
Sure.
back up technically. I don't know what I want to do, but I
Sure.
want to say. So you're talking about if we're walking outside and something's grabbing our attention, like that's what's in right in front of us. And I kind of wanted to just highlight that our Western civilization has us living in a way where we're constantly distracted. So,
Oh, sure.
in addition to maybe being brought up in a paradigm that doesn't support proactive actions for our health, we're also constantly preoccupied with everything else. And I think a
Oh, yeah.
big thing that's happening nowadays is that people are putting themselves last. And what I mean by that is that
Oh,
their
sure.
health isn't in the forefront because they're not in the forefront, because it's about their job, because it's about supporting their family, because it's about being there for family activities and shuttling the kids from activity to activity. And the list goes on and on. Whatever your personal life is, I'm pretty sure that everybody can raise a hand and say, I'm busy as busy gets. Like that's a huge
Yep.
complaint. And with that being said, this isn't necessarily a difficult thing to do to be proactive in your health. It's just a matter of making that center of your attention. That it's because it's
Yes.
not hard. I've heard a lot of people say things are simple and not easy, and I think that that's kind of where we're going. Is this is a really simple process,
Yes.
but it is not necessarily easy in the sense that you have to make an effort to redirect your thought process, your priorities, and all of that. Because if you put your
Yeah,
health first, you're
yeah,
going to be able
yep.
to better serve your family, your employer, and everybody else, let alone be a happier person in general. Good health and happiness go hand in hand. So I just kind of wanted to redirect us there a little bit,
Exactly.
because I know that a lot of people talk about, oh, I should get, but there's something lacking in moving that up their priority list. And I also
Right,
hear a lot of people
right.
say it's hard. It's hard to get healthy. Well, it's really the hardest
Yes.
part is just redirecting your thought process. So, and making
Yes,
that
yep.
priority shift and seeing the bigger picture, you know, where your end result is everything benefits, not just your health.
Yes, right. Yeah, and I think it would be a really cool idea for us to even one of these times do a Zoom call where I can draw out some things, because I want to explain that process of creating that shift. Because what really people are having an issue with is that they have life strategies on how they do life every day, how they show up to life. And those strategies aren't working for them if they're realizing that they need to make some changes, but they're saying to themselves that it's hard to make the changes because they're so busy. They're not, these are not people that are dumb. These are not people that don't care. These are not people who just can't figure it out. These are just people who have bad strategies on how to do life. And so, I'd like to do either a podcast or a Zoom call on that, because I really like to talk about, it's one of my favorite subjects, is getting a better strategy and what it's going to actually take to make those behavior changes. So, but I think that even before we jump into that, I think that then really helping people with the basics and understanding where health and sickness come from, because here's what happens when. This is what I see all the time. When people have these bad strategies, when they have busy lives, when and then all of a sudden something hits them, they get some kind of symptoms. Maybe they feel tired all the time, or they're just getting headaches all the time, or they're feeling stressed, or whatever it is. Then what happens is, instead of going, "Well, I know exactly what's causing this," they go to the doctor to get help for that. And that's what we're taught. And the reason for that is because when you have the thought processes that I'm just too busy, I just can't make it happen, and then you start going to default belief systems like, well, this is happening because I'm getting older. This is happening because of genetics. This is happening because, I just have a lot going on, and I'm just very stressed, and there's nothing I can do about it right now. That kind of thing. And so I'm hoping that if we could talk a little bit more in detail about where health comes from, then maybe people will slow down for a minute and go, okay, so it's not from any of these usual things that I would blame it for. So what is it from, right? So here's what I like to tell people when we're talking about, they'll say, "Doc, I just don't understand, why I'm feeling, X, Y, or Z symptom." And so I'd like to tell them that basically, is my understanding, I think the research is very clear, that all chronic diseases come from two things: toxicities and deficiencies. Okay. Now that covers a very broad range. So we're going to break that down. So that's kind of like the 20,000 foot view right there: toxicities, deficiencies. I really, really believe, and I see the evidence for that, these are the reasons, these two reasons right here are the only reasons why we have this chronic illness epidemic. Now, I will preface this by saying that there is literature that show us, and I do believe this is to be true, that there are less than 2% of the diseases that we have in this world that are actually truly genetic. So as an example, that would be trisomy 21, which is the genes for Down syndrome, cystic fibrosis, just to name a couple. So those are good examples of truly genetic diseases that we deal with in our country or in the world. But pretty much anything else that you have heard of, Hashimoto's, thyroid, cancer, diabetes, obesity, all these different things are something other than genetic. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Again, linking that back to toxicities and deficiencies. So when you have toxicities and deficiencies, These are the things that cause your body to adapt, and they it's all about. A lot of people remember, in high school maybe, or if they went on to get health degrees in college, this term called homeostasis.
Yeah.
And so homeostasis is just about the body and the cells being in balance, that everything is within this tight window of function. And then if there's too much toxins, like for instance, if you had too much arsenic in something that you ate, then that would take your cells out of homeostasis, and your cells would be under attack, and it would be trying to recover from this. And of course, if it's arsenic, you probably won't recover from it, depending on the dose of it, right? So, but that's not typically, we're not really dealing with arsenic pretty much every day. But we're dealing with things that are not as toxic as arsenic. The problem is that we're dealing with them for long periods of time, and we're dealing with lots of different ones all at the same time. And it's causing our bodies to get out of homeostasis, which then causes our heart rate to rise, our stress hormones to go, and so on and so forth, right? So, and here's the thing, we can be toxic and deficient in basically in three areas of our life: how we eat, how we move, and how we think. Okay? So if your body and your genetics, and we won't get into this a whole lot today because we have a simple analogy that I want to get into, but I wanted to give some background on that because when we look at each one of those areas, then how you eat, how you move, and how you think, if you are deficient or toxic in any one of those categories, then your body has to begin to adapt. Okay. And it's similar to being on an iceberg. Your body has to, if you were stranded on an iceberg, your body would have to adapt to the cold there, especially if you were there for any length of time. And your body goes through this whole process of adaptation, and that's where the body's going out of homeostasis. It's trying to control everything so that it can, its job is to help us survive, especially in an attack, quote unquote situation. And so the body perceives the cold on an iceberg, stranded there, as an attack on the system, and so it goes to work to help you survive and thrive. So, so basically, then when we go back to the eating, thinking, and moving, when we're deficient or toxic in any of those areas, our body has to go into that survival mode, just like it would on the iceberg. So the best, one of the good ways I like to explain it is an analogy that I got from one of my mentors, Dr. James Chestnut, on called Rocks in the Backpack. And basically, I find this is the best way to help understand. There's actually a really cool key concepts throughout this because it helps us understand how we get sick. It helps us understand how we get dealt with traditionally when we're sick. And it also helps us understand this whole area of where age comes in to the factor. Okay. So if you would permit me, I'm going to go ahead and kind of go through that analogy, and then we'll see where we go from
All
there.
right. That's
So, all right. So basically, with the rocks in the backpack analogy, what it requires you to do is use your imagination. And so this is really a metaphor of life. And so I want everybody to kind of imagine that they show up into this world, they're born into this world in a pool of water. And you also, in this pool of water, you're wearing those water wings that you see kids wear at the beach to kind of hold them, keep them floating up above the water. And let's say that each one of those water wings has just a small pinprick hole in them. Okay. And what that hole represents is what science has found, that our genes have told us that we should be able to live 120 years. Okay. So that water wing, those water wings that are full of air, are supposed to last you 120 years and keep you above the water, keep you from drowning. Okay. And then also, I want everybody to imagine that Not only they're in the pool of life, they have the water wings on, and they also have a backpack on. All right. So when we go through and we talk about deficiencies and toxicity, so anything that is deficient to us or toxic to us in either one of those three categories, how we eat, think, or move, would represent a rock in the backpack. So the rocks are what we're concerned about, really. So now imagine then, and you can kind of play along with me. I'll ask you a couple of questions. If I don't get enough movement nutrition, that would be a rock in the backpack, okay? And some rocks are bigger than others. And so if Margaret, you're this person swimming in a pool of life, and I start putting rocks in your backpack, what do you suppose would start to happen as you're sitting there floating on top? And the rocks start to build up in your backpack. What happens to those water wings that you have on?
Well, they probably start to lose air a little bit quicker. Basically,
Yes,
everything's
exactly.
got to work harder to stay above the water.
Exactly. So yeah, you're exactly right. So the as you begin to sink because of the weight of the rocks right into the pool, that puts more pressure on the water wings, which makes the push the air out a little quicker. So there's kind of like your analogy of why we're not living 120 years, because those rocks are what cause us to lose that air, so to speak, quicker. And so then we're dying at much younger ages, you know. And so that's a very clear idea. And basically where that idea comes from is that every time that we are damaging our cells in our body, because we're made up of trillions of cells. Maybe even 100 trillions of cells. That's what makes up our skin, our organs, our eye tissues, our hair tissues. Those are all cells. And so those cells, when they get damaged by things that are toxic, or when we don't have enough of some particular, so a deficiency would be, if I don't have enough vitamin D, for instance, or enough omega-3, then that would be a deficiency to my cells, and that would cause them to be inflamed or be damaged. And so then they have to be replaced. So we're constantly replacing our cells. Well, we're going to do that naturally anyway, but when we're having all these toxicities and deficiencies, that begins to happen at a faster rate. So imagine taking a piece of paper that has some information on it, going to the copy machine and copying it. And if you remember back in the old days, and probably still happens even today, we just probably don't see it as often, but if you make a copy, and then you make a copy of the copy, and then you make a copy of the copy,
Yes.
it begins to lose the quality of the
Yeah,
original,
for
right?
sure. Definitely.
Well, that's our 120 years. That's what's happening with those water wings, is that we making the copies of copies of copies, and we're doing it at a rapid rate, and we're not getting all the things that we need. And so then the cells have to adapt. They begin to get fatigued. They get to have damage, and then eventually cell death. And so that's where your cancers come in, where you get to those point where you need an intervention,
Right.
is that when the cells are just gotten to that point. Okay. So now here's what happens. Traditional medicine comes along, and let's say you start to have these symptoms, because the other thing that's happening is your whole body begins to struggle in the pool, because you could feel the imminent danger. You can feel the water coming up to your chin, and you begin to tread more quickly. And it begins to cause your brain to go into stress, and you begin to worry and fret that, hey, you're going down. And so there's this whole picture of struggling in this water, right?
Yes.
And then you get more rocks in the backpack because you don't have the right amount of vegetables, and you're not drinking enough water, and you're not going for enough walks, and you're not feeling love from your family, or you're not giving love to your family. And all of these things that are deficiencies and toxicities in our lives are all rocks in the backpack. And so then you start to have these symptoms of struggling, like, oh, I don't feel very good, I'm tired all the time. And you go to the doctor, and what does the doctor do? The doctor says, oh, I see what the problem is. Take these pills. And so you're sitting there in the pool of life, and you're struggling, but you're going to feel better. You're still drowning. You're still struggling, but you're going to feel better. And the doctor and you walk away feeling like the doctor is the hero of the story.
Yeah.
Right? Because we no longer have the symptoms of drowning, even though you still are drowning. Right? And that's what traditional medicine is doing to us now. And so, instead of, what would be the more appropriate thing to do in your case, Margaret?
Well, to
It would.
address the original cause of the issue would be fantastic. Let's take some rocks out
Yeah, wouldn't
of my
it? Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't it be nice if they would just kind of reach in that backpack for you and start taking those rocks out? Because then what would happen if they took the rocks out? What would happen to your body? What would happen to the pressure on those water wings?
Well, the pressure on the water wings would release, which would slow down the air coming out of the wings. And naturally, I'm already, what's the word for floatable?
Yeah, you're buoyant.
Yes,
Yeah, you're
I'm
buoyant.
already buoyant as it is. So if you get rid of the rocks, then my body can just kind of relax and be, just be, not freaking out and
Exactly.
trying to stay above water all the time.
Exactly. And so, that's really what this rocks in the backpack analogy is about, is understanding what's causing you to have the symptoms that we're having is the rocks in the backpack, and it's putting pressure on your life, causing you to stress out, to create hormones and to adapt and try to, and it's all for, to try to get you back to homeostasis. But the problem is that either ourselves as individuals and the doctors are not addressing the reason why the causes of why we're struggling in this pool of life. And so instead are giving us medications to basically silent the voice, silent the symptoms, to make it to dull your pain, to quiet nature's voice. And yet we still could sit there and drown. I mean, think about it. When people die with heart attacks or cancers and stuff like that, did they forget to take their pills?
No.
No. And what's interesting is I just read a research article from 2012 where the FDA basically has said that, let's see, was it the FDA? Trying to find that paper. Yeah, the FDA reports death by medicine is rising. It has like by tenfold between 2010 and 2012. So these diseases and this chronic illness epidemic is not getting better. It hasn't been getting better since I've been in the health industry back in 2007 when I decided to go to school. It hasn't, and that not in fact it hasn't, not only is it not getting better, but it's gotten exponentially
Worse.
worse.
This is the area where my passion starts to come into it because people aren't educated to, I don't want to say avoid going to the doctor because there's definitely a time and place for immediate interventions. But just they're unaware that there's other options and that sometimes if you're not in that life or death, I need to have an intervention or my body will fail, then you could actually be putting yourself in a position to create system failure in your body. And people just, they don't know that. And they're all trying to do the best thing, you know? So that's where I'm coming from with this podcast and with what I'm doing with my business and trying to just get the word out to people that there are options, you
Yes.
know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that in our possibly in our next podcast, we're going to talk about the fire department and the construction crew, because I want to make some distinctions on when it's appropriate for intervention and when it's time to address the issue in maybe an alternative way. And so I'd like to delve into that maybe on our next podcast, but for now, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that that's a fantastic avenue. And then we did that tag back and forth thing, and now it's gone. So go for it. Speak away.
That's all right. That's all right. It's what happens here.
know.
And we're, especially when we're live.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, you know, I think we covered quite a bit of ground today. I'd love to be able to keep this on the shorter side so that people can listen to it. And that's what I would encourage our listeners to do is that, you know, listen to this a few times, you know, get your questions, you know, reach out to us. You know, you can either reach me by email, as which is docmilano@gmail.com. That's docmilano at gmail.com. For any questions that you have regarding this, if you want to start reaching out to us too on Facebook, I have a business page that's Advanced Chiropractic of Marquette. You can look us up there. And eventually, as we get these podcasts up and as Margaret and I learn how to do these, we'll have links and things like that to share with you guys. But definitely subscribe to our channel. We're going to be covering this information more and more as we go. And we look forward to people sharing this with other people and help us get the message and evolve your health with us. So, with that, I'm done. Do you have any closing remarks, Margaret?
No, I remembered what I was going to say, but I think I'm going to save it for next time. So we've got a couple,
Yeah, that works too.
we've got a few good podcasts coming up. We've already talked about like three different topics that we haven't covered yet. So, whoo, I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time on Evolving Health Podcast, and have a great day.